Now, the epistle for the Feast of Corpus Christi is taken from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Brethren, I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and giving thanks, broke and said, "Take ye and eat. This is my body, which shall be delivered for you. Do this for the commemoration of me." In like manner also the chalice after he had supped, saying, "This chalice is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye shall drink for the commemoration of me. For as often as ye shall eat this bread and drink this chalice, you shall show the death of the Lord until he come. Therefore, whosoever shall eat this bread or drink of the chalice of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. But let a man prove himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that chalice. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the body of the Lord." And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, the 6th chapter. At that time, Jesus said to the multitudes of the Jews, "My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood abideth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, the same also shall live by me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eateth this bread shall live forever." Thus far the words of this evening's Holy Gospel. God so loved the world as to give his only begotten Son. These words are taken from the Gospel of St. John. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Sometimes, my dear faithful, the teenage years can be the most trying years spiritually, or a time of the most opportunities for good or for bad. But whether in one's teens, 20s, or later in life, it would seem the most danger and temptation to getting off track is when one is so absorbed in finding his place in this life that he forgets the importance of remembering to achieve his eternal place in the next life. Gabriel Gargan, as a teenager, fell into similar difficulties. Gabriel was born and raised a Catholic in France, and we can presume that his family was deeply Catholic because his mother was very pious and his aunt was actually a nun of the Order of the Sacred Heart. But for one reason or another, at the age of 15, Gabriel stopped receiving the sacraments and he completely stopped going to church. Gabriel became a clerk for the Post Office Express, and he helped transport the mail by express train. 15 years went by, and on December 17th, 1899, the express train was on the way from Bordeaux to Paris when it had a catastrophic collision. At the time of the wreck, the train was going 50 miles an hour. Gabriel was thrown 52 feet out of the train. His body was broken, terribly bruised, and he was paralyzed from the waist down. When he was found and finally lifted onto a stretcher, he was barely alive. Once taken to the hospital, his existence became a living death, day by day. And although he was a big man prior, after being in this condition for 8 months, he had wasted away to a mere skeleton, weighing but 78 pounds. Because of the paralysis and lack of circulation, his feet became gangrenous, which is difficult to describe other than being putrid and awful. He could take no solid food and was obliged to take nourishment by a tube, but he could do this only once every 24 hours. He could not help himself even in the most trifling needs, and so two trained nurses were needed day and night to assist him. Because this case was brought into several courts, especially with and against the railway company, his condition is a matter of very careful record. And this is how we have many doctors' testimony that this poor man was a hopeless cripple for life. Gabriel's aunt, the sister of the Sacred Heart, begged him to go to Lourdes, but he refused, and sister kept praying and put him in the hands of Our Lady of Lourdes. But Gabriel himself was deaf to all of her prayers. He didn't make one change in his life. It was 2 years after the accident, with the continuous pleading of his mother to go to Lourdes, that he finally consented. But remember that not for a moment in those 2 years had he even left his bed. He was carried on a stretcher to the train, but the exertion caused him to faint, and for a full hour he was unconscious. They were on the point of abandoning the pilgrimage, since it seemed as if he would die on the way, but the courageous mother insisted, and the journey was made. Having arrived at Lourdes, Gabriel made a good confession and received Holy Communion, which filled his mother and family with joy beyond words. Later, he was carried to the miraculous spring and tenderly placed in its waters, but with no positive result. Rather, a bad effect resulted, for the exertion made him faint, and he lay there, apparently dead. After a time, since he did not revive, they presumed his death. They sorrowfully placed a cloth over his face and wheeled the stretcher back to the hotel. On the way back, they saw the procession of the Blessed Sacrament approaching, and so the whole carriage and entourage stood aside to let it pass. As the priest passed carrying the sacred host in the monstrance, he made the sign of the cross and gave benediction to this sorrowful group around the covered body on the side of the road. And at that moment, the covered body began to move. The body raised itself to a sitting posture, while the family were looking on, dumbfounded, and the spectators gazed in amazement. They heard a full, strong voice, Gabriel, saying that he wanted to get up. The man, who was a mere skeleton, still perhaps in 78 pounds, got up from the stretcher by himself and stood erect. He walked a few paces, and looking back, he said, "I'm cured." The multitude, as you could imagine, looked in wonder and fell on their knees and thanked God for this new sign of his power at the shrine of his Blessed Mother. The whole group returned then in joy and astounding emotion to the hotel. There Gabriel changed his clothes and proceeded to walk around as if he had never been ill. For 2 years, hardly any food had passed his lips, but now he sat down and ate a very hearty meal. Later, 60 prominent doctors examined Gabriel Gargan, and they pronounced him entirely cured without any natural explanation. And Gabriel was, of course, a changed man, not only physically. Grateful to God in the Holy Eucharist and to his Blessed Mother, he consecrated himself to the service of the invalids at Lourdes, lifting the helpless from their cots, aiding the cripples, ministering to the afflicted. He was seen there day by day, a living miracle, visible testimony of the supernatural hand of God on earth. Now, in just a few moments, my dear faithful, the same blessed sacrament which was in front of Gabriel Gargan, with which Gabriel was given benediction and which cured him and restored his whole life, is about to be here upon our altar. And when we are in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, we are in the presence of our Lord and Savior, the Sacred Heart, the same Lord who cured lepers, gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, healed the sick, and who raised Lazarus back to life, who restored St. Mary Magdalene and innumerable souls to spiritual life. The very same will be before us, body and blood, soul and divinity. Such is the love of God, the love of the Sacred Heart for us, that he willed and wills to be here with us. St. John the Apostle says, God so loved the world as to give his only begotten Son. God so loved the world that he deigned that he would come down from heaven to keep company with you and me. He said, I will not leave you orphans. Rather, he would stay with us as a loving Father and a loving Redeemer. His Sacred Heart is so filled with love that, as charity tends to diffuse itself, he comes to spread the fire of divine love in your heart. Our Lord himself said, I am come to cast fire on the earth, and what will I but that it be kindled? Since then, this is his will, and this is his motive of instituting the Holy Eucharist, let us accede to his wishes. Let us burn with love for the Sacred Heart present in this sacrament by increasing our devotion to him in the Most Blessed Sacrament and being grateful for such a gift. I would encourage you to be generous with your time and efforts, dispel any weariness, fight the yawns and the restlessness, and fight distractions to show your appreciation and make a return to our Lord in the Most Holy Eucharist. Remembering that he is here for us, here to help us, to cure us of our ills, and to assist us with our difficulties in life day by day, if they are financial, family, or health, if we are battling temptations against our faith, against purity, or one of the passions like anger, if we are having any troubles, let us turn to the Most Blessed Sacrament and put ourselves in his divine hands, saying, Lord, help me. Lord, heal my woes. If we are in any situation in life like Gabriel Gargan was in a most desperate situation in his life, both physically and spiritually, let us remind ourselves, God is almighty and can do anything. Our Lord wants what is truly best for us, for he is our Savior, and the Sacred Heart is filled with a love for us that is unimaginable and infinite. And finally, let us take to heart one of the biggest proofs of his divine love for us, that we can see every time we are in front of the tabernacle and at every Mass, that God so loved the world as to give his only begotten Son in the Most Blessed Sacrament. Our Lord, my dear faithful, is truly present to be with us, and the Sacred Heart is here to help us. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.